Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. We are doing our last week or so of the Cup of Goodness program. This will be number 141. And actually, with the two that I've done that weren't numbered properly at the beginning of the year, we will actually end, if I'm correct, with 150 programs. December 23rd will be our cutoff date, unless somebody out there has $800 they want to throw my way to keep the program going another month. But as of now, that is the plan. But that's okay. We have a website, and I've talked about it before, www.scatteredchristians.org. And there's where all the details, there's where all the stuff is at anyway. We've got sermons, we have video sermons. If you are a YouTube person and you want to see me as I'm doing my sermons and talks, get on the website. I've got tons of video sermons. I shouldn't say tons of video sermons. I have bunches of video sermons. But then you will see that you don't need to see me when I talk about what I talk. And besides that, the sermons I have that are on video are way too long for YouTube. But you're more than welcome to click on there. Go to the archive section, and there they are. You've got audio sermons. You've got written studies. You've got comparisons, King James Bible to the different Bibles. You've got rightly dividing as simple as possible, because it is simple. It's not even complicated. You've got how to understand the King James Bible. That's easy to do. But I've got a bunch of programs that just helps you deal with it. But it just takes one look at this thing and understand what it is. I've got sermons galore on music. I've got music galore on music. Playing the piano of all the different Baptistic hymns as such. There's some other ones in there as well. And I will say this, that since I've come to knowledge of the risen Savior through Paul and the King James Bible rightly divided, some of the verses in those Baptistic hymns are really not even true doctrine. And maybe as I get a little older here, get a few more spare minutes, I will be going through those and knocking out those verses. So I don't necessarily highly recommend those songs anymore, but I know some people just haven't heard those hymns for years. I don't play the old rugged cross anywhere on there, for example, because the cross is not the symbol of Christianity. So I don't play that game of that song there. Wonderful Grace of Jesus, that's one of my favorite ones. Redeemed, all sorts of things on there. But the website's got it all. And as near as we can keep that thing going, that is not as near as expensive as a radio program. And from what I understand, chances are the price for this radio is not all that expensive. But still, $800 is $800. So, let's see here. Got a couple things I want to throw at you here. I've got a week plus two programs, so I've got to get a lot in. There are some serious things. I'm going to do my best not to review what we have talked about in the previous 141 programs. I figure if you haven't caught on by now, that a couple more programs isn't going to help the cause any. And for those of you that are understanding a King James Bible, you will appreciate these programs, I think. I do hope to get more people to challenge that NIV, challenge their ASV, their Message Bible, which is really just a dirty book if you read that thing. All these other modern Bibles, any Bible that isn't a King James Bible, does not tell you that God's going to preserve His words. Any other Bible but a King James Bible does not tell you to rightly divide the word of truth. Any other Bible but a King James Bible doesn't even tell you to study. And a matter of fact, we're going to be looking at a word this morning for a couple of minutes that really irritates me about an NIV Bible and how they change the word servant to slave. But I'll get to that in a minute here. So the website is there. It's there available. It will be there for as long as we possibly can keep it going. And there's enough stuff on there for you to stay busy. You don't need this program to feed you anything. You just need to get onto that website, get yourself a King James Bible. I'll send one out to you. A lot of these King James Bibles in the stores are not true King James Bibles. And getting where you can't trust anybody anymore. Probably can't even trust me. But can you trust God to promise to preserve His words? And if you can, where are they at today? And if the Bible you have doesn't tell you that God's going to preserve His words, then obviously, duh, you don't have His words. And it's not just the Word of God, it's the words of God. Every word, every punctuation should be what it should be. If not, you're just playing a religious game. Maybe yours is better than somebody else's. Maybe you don't teach that Jesus is the brother of Satan. Maybe your religion believes that you should worship on Saturday and not on Sunday. and you should not do anything except maybe, you know, work around the house and go some places, do a shopping or whatever. Maybe you do believe that you need to confess your sins. Maybe you do, you know, whatever. But where do you base it on? Based on a King James Bible, rightly divided? If not, then go build a boat. That'll be about as valuable as confessing your sins to become a Christian. Okay, before we do get started here, this will be the Sunday program that I had planned for Sunday. I just couldn't get it together. Too busy at school. I've got a Christmas program coming up. We've got some activities going on. They're so hurting they even need me to do the announcing for the basketball games every night. And I've got some of my music kids singing the Star Spangled Banner, some of my elementary kids. And I've just been swamped with stuff. But in about a week and a half, I'll be done. But in a week and a half, we'll be done with the program, too. So let's just get some things going here. But like I said, before we get started here, I have to mention this. Do you realize that the WWW on the computer is 666 in Hebrew? It's not the mark of the beast, no doubt, because if it was, this would be tribulation. But think about this. 666, the letter W changed to in Hebrew is a 6. So really, we start all of our correspondence on the website with www. Well, that's 666 dot, you know. Now, is that the mark of the beast? No, it's not the actual mark of the beast. But if you think about it, you go back and you read that in Revelation, you're not going to be able to buy and sell without that number. And it's getting to where they want everybody to buy everything, sell everything, and you got to start it off with www. Maybe the old Antichrist himself is just going to use his name to start off all the buying, all the economy transactions. Makes sense? So we're already typing in 666 to do your transacting if you do online purchasing. Just one of those interesting things. I suppose there's books out there, there's probably preachers out there that preach the fire that you're buying from the devil himself when you get on that computer. Well, no doubt that the devil's behind this thing because all the damage is done to our families and to our homes, and it has destroyed our economy. It's translated our economy into a different form, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this program isn't about that. You've got enough Revelation fearmongers out there preaching about that. You don't need me talking about it. Although, if you've got the Jesus that's taught to the Gospels and the Jesus that's taught in the tribulation, if that's what's being taught to you today, I would get a little concerned because as near as I can tell, this Bible tells me that your modern Bible is not the gospel of your salvation. So yeah, you will be going into the tribulation. But just think, the joy of it all, you'll know exactly what it means to buy and sell only with his mark. No cash. You see what they call that? Cashless society. Mark in the forehead, in the hand. It's already being talked about, isn't it? Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Then another just little observation I made this morning, while I was grabbing my old NIV that I have here to look up some of these verses about this slave and servant thing. Boy, that just irritates me. I was noticing that the cover I have on my NIV Bible, it's got that little overlap on the outside. Makes it hard for me to get into the pages toward the end of the Bible. And I just realized, you know what, if I take that cover and I fold that thing over down the edge, just a little bit here, you know where that cover starts? That cover edge starts in Romans. So really, an NIV has a little cover, a little edge on the Bible that when folded over, and it is half folded over automatically, it's you know, printed and formed to be a cover to protect your pages. You know what it does? It keeps you out of the books of Paul. So if you're just going to grab your NIV Bible, kind of flip around in the little thing, you're going to flip around everywhere but in Paul's books. This makes it difficult to get into Paul's books. Why would an NIV even care about that? Because what it has done to Paul's writings doesn't matter anyway. It's so destroyed what Paul has written, which we'll go over here in about a minute or so here. Anyway, just another little interesting thing. Every little thing out there is just anything to get away from a King James Bible. Some of the older folks probably remember when the King James Bible had gold-edged pages, and then the new Bibles came out, and they were red-edged pages. Then they got the red-letter Bible, which supposedly is Jesus' words, even though all that Paul has to say are Jesus' words. Risen Savior, right? Telling Paul what to say. It's all just to deceive. It's just all out there to deceive and get you away from your King James Bible. Or to have a King James Bible, get you to tweak it so it still doesn't make sense to you. Get rid of those red letters and get that rightly dividing going. The New Testament doesn't begin until the death of the testator. And when the death of the testator goes to Paul, he's going to the Gentiles. And that's where we are today. But I really don't believe for much longer. Okay, just get rid of that note. Let's get rid of this note here. We are going to be discussing an issue this morning. It's actually an issue. And we're not going to be discussing because it's my side only. You can say what you want to the radio, but listen, I don't hear you. You can whack on your radio and get mad at me if you want. You can steal your Bible at the radio. I'm not going to feel it. You can turn it off. I won't even know that. But this is a hot issue today. I'm going to give some of you folks, some of you ladies especially, in case you haven't already got one, but a reason to hate the King James Bible. Because this is the only place you're going to find that. Find what? Well, I'll get to you in a minute. This being the Sunday morning program, we are in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, this is going to be an issue that's going to be tough for Christian women to listen to, and especially King James Bible following, Paul following, rightly dividing ladies, because I realize more than anybody, there are circumstances that you can't control in your life. We're living in a cursed world. People that think God is blessing you because you have him for your born-again father, that's not true. It's a cursed world. God is not going to uncurse your little circle just because you're a good little boy or a good little girl. It's not going to happen. We've been taught for so many years the lifestyle that we have today. To not live it makes it a very difficult lifestyle, very difficult. You almost can't buy or sell if you're going to be a Christian. If you want to stand on the Christian thing. Then we get the people that want to stand on the Old Testament Proverbs. You know, the Proverbs 31 woman, that type of thing. And you get this pride, you get this conceit that I am a Proverbs 31 woman. And I'm hardworking. God leads me to lead my family. I'm the type of Holy Spirit in my family. Jack Hiles used to teach that. I do great out in the workplace. We need the money. And you probably do need the money. Our government and our economy has forced us all to be working. We need to work. We need to work. Well, we need to work to maintain the lifestyle that we have. If we want that super comfortable lifestyle, be able to go on our trips and have our cars and all that kind of stuff, sure, we both need to work. And to pay for medical issues anymore, we need that insurance. And we're just under the grip of the world. The world has grasped us so much that if you truly want to try to please God, there are some areas today that are near impossible. And this is one of them. This is one of them. So let's see here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 here. I might have to, I don't want to divvy these programs up. Let's get right into this. Chapter 6, verse 5. Starts right off with the word servants. Be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Now, what we're going to talk about here this morning, and we've only got about 15 minutes left here already, we're going to talk about the workplace. You have a boss, you're a Christian, you have a job, you need to work. Now, two things. One is an NIV Bible, the one I have. Who knows what edition it is? Who cares? And all the other Bibles out there, I'm sure many of them do, change the word servants to slaves. Now, before we go any farther with this workplace teaching for a Christian, if you have a job, how do you behave at work? How are you supposed to be at work? Do you go on strike? Do you complain? Do you argue with your boss? What's going on here? And the second question is, ladies, does this pertain to you? So, before I get into that, this thing about slave really bothers me. To have a job, you are not somebody's slave. To be a Christian, you are not a slave to Christ. You are not a slave of Christ. People that hate the word slave today don't even realize that their Bible tells them to be a slave. I am not a slave of Christ. I'm a servant of Christ. And yes, I'm a servant to my boss at work. I'm an administrator. I should be the Christian. Then what does that mean to be the Christian? And yes, I'll say it again. Ladies, I know a lot of you have to work. You have no choice. Your husband has died. You have financial disaster. You've been taught for all these years you can't just up and quit. The government's forced our hand. And yet, because I teach in elementary school or high school, both of them, I see that the disaster our kids have, is it because of the computer? Yeah, partly. Is it because of the phones they have and the games they play? Yeah, partly. I'll tell you what the problem is. Mom isn't home with them. The old Satan Deluder Act, way back years ago, when the government came up with that, to make kids go to school instead of being taught at home, there was the first destruction of the family. It's called the old Satan Deluder Act. Look it up. Check it out. So what do we do today? We got husbands and wives sending their kids off to school, letting the schools babysit them with whatever doctrine they want to put in there. And I'll tell you, the doctrine is being changed in our public schools. It's been changing for years, but it's really wicked now. It is truly a wicked doctrine, but nobody seems to care. Just take my kids because we both have to work. Even when we have a day off of school, we get phone calls. What am I supposed to do with my kids? So listen, I know there's some mothers out there, they would give everything to be able to stay home with their kids and teach them, or if worse comes to worse, at least just be there when they come home. And I know some women have a choice. Are they willing to give up the world to be with their kids? I'll give up anything to be with my kids to make sure my kids have a good life. Will you give up the world? But I also know there are ladies that you have no choice. It's the bind that you're in. So, with that said, let's go back to this slave thing. NIV Bible, slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters. So is your boss your master? Are you the lowly slave? I don't want to spend much time on this thing, but you know in an NIV Bible, you're called a slave of Christ. You're called a slave at work. You are a slave to sin when you are unsaved, unborn again, as they teach it. You were free from the control of righteousness. From the control of righteousness? You read an NIV Bible about a Christian, and it makes it look like if you're going to actually be the Christian, well, you're a slave to the control of righteousness. You're a slave to righteousness. From a servant of righteousness, in a King James Bible, to a slave to righteousness? That's terrible. That's absolutely horrendous false teaching. A slave to righteousness? You're a slave to do the right thing if you choose as a Christian? Toss out that NIV Bible, folks, and get rid of that piece of junk. Oh, it's amazing. And these are people that hate the word slave. So they hate righteousness. Because if you're going to be a Christian, well then, see, you're a slave to God. You're a slave of Christ. What a horrible thought. So they get this new music going, and they're no longer a slave of Christ. They can do what they want. They can have their own fun. They've broken away from the control of righteousness. And their Bible tells them to take the mark of being a Christian, and it doesn't tell you to rightly divide, doesn't say about preserve. I tell you, that NIV Bible and all these other Bibles, they're horrible. They're disasters. They're demonic. They're devilish. Whatever word you want to use, they're a lie. And so the Gospels that come from them. But what about these King James guys? They got a King James Bible. They need to rightly divide this thing, and we need to look what it is to be a Christian at the workplace. So according to my time here, I've got about 8 minutes to tell us what it is to be a Christian at work. Not a slave. Not a slave. So irritating. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. This is our Sunday program beginning as of now. Servants, be obedient to them. Doesn't that just bother you? Are you sitting there bothered that your Bible says the word slave? You're not bothered with that? You need to be bothered by that. Am I telling you to be bothered by that? No, I'm just telling you, I'm not a slave of Christ. Are you a slave of Christ? Is he your master and you're his slave? Is that how you think about being a Christian, trying to do the right thing with your music and your life and your dress and everything? Are you a slave to righteousness? Or are you a servant of? Do you think righteousness controls and ruins your life? I think a lot of people think that because a lot of people quit following a King James Bible, quit following Paul that one time were because they were not happy with living a life of trying to please God. I guess it felt like they were a slave to righteousness, and they broke free. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. That's your earthly boss. And there's that other word that people hate, and that's the word obedient, but whatever. You want your children to be obedient to you, but yet you won't be obedient to your boss. You won't be obedient to Christ. You won't be obedient to a rightly divided King James Bible. Is it that bad? Do you feel like you're a slave? Do your children feel like they're a slave? Is there not charging and exhortation and comforting? A father should comfort his children. Maybe he is a slave. Maybe he is like their master, and children are your slaves. I know a lot of children who are slaves to their parents. But anyway, try it again. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Then it goes to the bosses, and ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening. Maybe some of you are bosses. Maybe some of you have people working underneath you. Okay? You're a master. They're your servant, not a slave. They're doing their job for you. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Well, what are the same things? Well, just like it says in 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, with goodwill doing service. See? Then it says here, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. So a boss needs to have no respect for persons, not a problem, but he's supposed to forbear threatening and realize that he has a master in heaven himself. Okay, so now, let's keep looking at a few more verses here. Let's go to Colossians chapter 4. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants. Now, you know that your Bible says slave there, but just don't get me going on that again. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. So, masters, bosses, be fair to your workers. And then it gets even better. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Here's how you're supposed to look to your boss, men. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Do you realize that you blaspheme the name of God and his doctrine if you don't respect your boss with worthy of all honor? Verse 2, got to hurry here. Verse 2, and they that have believing masters, there's your Christian master, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. It's tough enough to look at some of your lousy bosses worthy of all honor, but that's what a Christian is to do. It's just what it says. If you can't handle it, get a different job. This is what it says here. And then it says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise what? Otherwise verses 1 and 2, and that's to count your boss, your master worthy of all honor, and a believing master, do them service. Then verse 4, you're proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. You want the bucks, is what you're after. And we're supposed to withdraw from those types of people. Moving along, this gets tougher right here in Titus chapter 2. Here we go, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. This is sound doctrine, verse 1. This is what sound doctrine is. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them again well in all things, not answering again. Don't be talking back to your boss. Not purloining. Those are little thieveries. little statelings, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. You can be trusted as a worker, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. A Christian is supposed to be the man that they should want to have work for. And it used to be in America that was the case. But now, they don't even want to hire Christians. Okay, now, let's finish this up here. You think about those verses. Let's finish this thing up here about women who work in the workplace. Were these things written to you? No. But again, like I said, circumstances are such, you may have to work. So don't let me be so hateful to you. You have to do what you have to do. But it does say in verse 3 in Titus chapter 2, aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors become with holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, here you go, ladies, to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. If you have to go to work instead of having your children at home, and we're talking what age, young women, we have widows we could talk about, we have situations, just keep in mind this is talking to young women that have children, you need to be home with those children, and if you're not, you're blaspheming the word of God. What are you talking about here? Well, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let me show you this verse here. Now, we've got to be done here. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Tough stuff, ladies. Tough stuff, younger ladies. Is this talking to you? Not at all. This is talking to men in the workplace. Again, some ladies, you have no choice. But for you ladies that have a choice, have you turned aside after Satan? Are you letting this whole thing destroy your family so you can have a job outside the home? Are you men fighting with your boss all the time? And you probably have a lousy boss, but the Christian man? Read it. Timothy 5, Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, verse 9 for the men, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, Colossians 4, verse 1. There's what we are to be in the workplace as workers. We are not slaves. We are not a slave to Christ. We are not a slave to the control of righteousness. We choose to serve. Men, we choose to serve in the workplace. And ladies, you have a different place to be, if you can be. We will continue this tomorrow.